coming to Canada, doing money stuff in Canada. And we're like, well, surely they got it, right? We got the RCMP, we got CSIS, and they're just doing stuff, right? And they got it all covered, and, you know, don't you worry, it's all happening, and, you know, the good guys are prevailing. Whoa, pause, time out. Not so, says our next guest in a book that he is the co-editor and has written some of the chapters of, taking a look at Dirty Money. That's the headline, Financial Crime in Canada. Co-edited by Jamie Farrell and Christian Luprecht. Christian, as you know, is a professor at the Royal Military College of Canada, an expert on many security and defense issues. He joins us now. Professor Luprecht, good morning. Good to speak with you again.
Anthony, nice to be on with you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. A financial underworld is operating in Canada, and you say it's largely going unchecked.
Yeah, and we already knew this from the Royal Commission on Money Laundering in British Columbia in its 1,800 pages and very detailed reporting. We have a reasonably good idea of the extent of financial and economic crime, and in particular, dirty money from offshore that is being brought into Canada. John Longdale, a criminologist in Australia, coined a term that is now world famous, the Vancouver Method, and snowshoring, but of course also the funds, the financial crime within this country. Look at, for instance, on Toronto streets, and look at the fentanyl crisis. Those of us who are concerned about human trafficking as well as human smuggling into this country, and the serious connections with financial crime and the financial motivators behind that. And of course, if you're concerned about the cost of living in Toronto, Toronto's real estate and the significant amount of external money that is simply looking for a home. And Canada has long been a relatively safe haven to invest your ill-gotten gains, in part because the chances of getting caught with that money having confiscated are negligible. And even if you do, the penalties are virtually none. And our agencies, by and large, have proven themselves very ineffective at either enforcing or tracking that type of money. Look only at the amount of announcements the government has made with regards to imposing sanctions on Russia and how little action there has been in Canada in that regard in actually making do that on confiscating assets.
Wow. This is not a good scene at all. Christian, what would you say is the worst sort of category, worst offending country or organization and all of this? Do we have a handle on that? Like if we're going to sort of triage our responses, what's the big ticket here?
Well, the challenge is that money laundering and financial crime have become global professional business. And one of the challenges is that they're so good that within any one country, they can make the transactions look perfectly legitimate. And so you need to have a broader perspective of the flows across borders in order to understand that the flows themselves are problematic. And so one of the challenges we have is that on the one hand, we have agencies in Canada that in and of themselves can be quite good, such as FinTrack, our financial intelligence unit, but that have very little authority to actually share proactively with other agencies. So FinTrack is entirely reactive. And on top of that, it's an administrative agency, not an enforcement agency per se. And organizations such as the RCMP that ultimately would need to be our federal police force to enforce. Gary Clement has just a former RCMP officer who ran the integrated proceeds of crime team for the RCMP in the 1990s, written a book as to why the RCMP has become wholly ineffective at being able to enforce financial and economic crime in this country. So we have either agencies with too constrained a mandate, agencies that are very ineffective at the mandate that they have been given, and the relatively weak capacity for our agencies to collaborate across borders. We just need to look at a recent report about illicit trade from Canada to Australia, in particular when it comes, for instance, to fentanyl, to show that Canada has really become a weak link when it comes to financial and economic crime among Five Eyes partner and allied countries.
This is not good at all. Our guest is Professor Christian Luprecht from the Royal Military College of Canada. He's a co-editor, co-author of Dirty Money, Financial Crime in Canada. And Christian, you know a lot of details and information about this, and you've been following this for years. So you're kind of you're running through it almost matter-of-factly. But I think for a lot of people, it's like, what? Wait, the RCMP has no ability to do one of what should be their core job. Look, it's one thing when we hear about, oh, you can't get the passport applications filled. Man, that's a headache. Like, it's really annoying for our lives. Other things not working. This is like our national security here. This is a big problem. What's being done about it?
Well, I mean, we have a federal police force that spends 85% of its time, money, and resources doing contract policing, and it gives priority to contract policing. So inherently, federal and national policing priorities always fall short. It is a propitious time to talk about this topic because the Financial Action Task Force, of which Canada is a member, some 30-plus countries across the world that are trying to set global standards when it comes to trying to prevent financial crime, money laundering, terrorist financing, is about to do a country report on Canada. I suspect the country report is not going to look good. This is part of the reason why we've had efforts by the federal government, for instance, by trying to stand up the Financial Crime Coordination Center. The federal government has been trying to get that going since 2019, but it appears to be not a political priority for the government to get that going, despite the increasing revelations also of the way financial crime is corroding our public and democratic institutions. And we also have the Federal Committee of Finance starting its hearings on the mandatory review of the Proceeds of Crime, Money Laundering and Terrorism Financing Act. So this will be another opportunity to expose the many weaknesses and the extent to which Canada is actually falling further behind. Canada is having trouble meeting simply the minimum global standard when it comes to its money laundering and financial crime policies. But of course, a country such as Canada, as a G7 member, must do much better than the minimum global standard. And we have increasing revelations around the challenges this country is facing, not just at the federal level, but also at the provincial level. We finally got, for instance, a beneficial ownership registry in this country. But unfortunately, the registry is so relatively broad and the threshold so high that most people in this country will never have to register.
Wow, this is a bad situation that we are facing here in terms of these complexities. But you have been doggedly on this stuff, obviously dealing with it on the academic front, giving lots of public testimonies, and of course, letting the folks know. And that's important because we need the public pressure in making change on this. So Christian Luprecht, I thank you as always for joining us on this program and for your dogged determinism on these issues.
Thanks for raising. This is an important issue for Canadians and for the safety of our streets and our communities.
You got it. Have a great day. Professor Christian Luprecht with Royal Military College of Canada. New book out. He's the co-editor of Dirty Money, Financial Crime in Canada.